morning. Are you well, everyone? Good to see you. Philip from Windhoek couldn't be here this morning, so I'm going to share the word. And Pastor Yaku, he is in Walvis Bay. So we all take turns, and it's nice to be a family of preachers who can share the gospel. Now, I wanted to start with a bit of a rhetorical question, maybe a boring one. But you know, you'll see where I'm going with that. How do you know someone is a Christian? Now, obviously, friend, I can see you're a Christian, okay? But there's a reason why I ask you. Then I want you to take part. Quickly tell me. Hopefully, you give a few wrong answers. Anthony, how do we know someone's a Christian? Good. Yeah, sounds good. What else? The fruit that they bear. Okay, perfect. You're a good church. I thought and hoped actually you're going to say stuff by the car you drive, or maybe the church you belong to, or how wealthy you are, or stuff like that, because that's not going to be the answer. I was talking to someone recently, and the person made a statement, and that's why I asked the question. And he actually said, you don't see a Christian in church. You see one during the week in town. I thought, like, well, that sounds like wisdom. That sounds like the truth. Because I suppose most of us here, hopefully everyone, is Christian this morning. Okay, so no one is standing out. We're all family in that sense. But you see a Christian in everyday life. How do you see that person? Not by the car or the name of the church they belong to, but by the fruits. Scripture gives us very clearly here in Luke 6, verse 43 to 45, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, that's a well-known scripture, but it's so full of truth and wisdom. And it just tells me, listen, what you have in your heart, that fruits we will see. Now, I believe we're in agreement that scripture wants us to look and smell like Jesus. Early this morning, I sat and I just once again, I saw this picture of Jesus, basically his life, and unto death, how he was faithful, how he was obedient. And then you think like, okay, God, we know from Scripture he was God and he was man. And always we think Jesus, well, Jesus is Jesus. But you know, he had that character. And when I was younger at school or university, you know, people wore these bands. Or it says, what would Jesus do? And basically it were to remind you of the character of Christ. That when you get in a difficult situation, you could look at your arm and this little band will say, what would Jesus do? And then hopefully you know Scripture, and then that will guide you and the Holy Spirit will guide you about what will Jesus do. But see, friends, there's something about good fruits. And I think it's a good challenge to us to, during the week, not to be Christians behind the mask. That there should be a guessing game. Spot the Christian. Who's the Christian? That people will see this is someone who loves Christ. And that is why a powerful testimony like yours are powerful. We testify and we say, well, this wasn't just a flip of a coin. It was something God did. And that we can testify it and we can be grateful and thankful. So I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, last time that I preached here, I was busy with this question and I took it to Walvis Bay and believe this is something that God is busy with at our church. But do you really want to change? And changed into the image of Christ. Okay? And then that comes back to the fruits that we bear. Those fruits we really want to see. Now, Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians, he writes a letter to them from his passionate apostle's heart. And it's applicable to them and it's applicable to us here right now, more than 2,000 years later. And he writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, and he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only receives the prize, so that you may obtain it? Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating in the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And that is a picture that Paul, he writes, and he used this metaphor of athlete running and training. Now we know that if you want to run a race, say a marathon or a half marathon, a 20 or a how many Ks, that you need to exercise. You need to have discipline. You need to eat correctly. You need to stay away from piles and heaps of chocolates, and you have to eat healthy. You need to train. You need to discipline your body, okay? And Paul writes here and he says, listen, I discipline my body, not someone else. I discipline myself, and I keep it under control. And people, there's a key for me for our everyday life. If I ask that same question again, do we really want to change? How much do we actually want to look like Christ? Because we can all walk out here afterwards and say, I give the message 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 or something. But you will be confronted with the truth this morning of discipline in your own life. Because walking this road, taking up your cross, it's a decision that who takes? You take it. You young people, you need to take that decision, and you need to go and count the cost and say to yourself, I want to follow Jesus. Okay? And then you can't, none of us can sit back and say, okay, God's going to do an amazing work for the next 50 years in my life, and I'm going to look like Christ. Paul says he disciplines his body and he keeps it under control. Paul doesn't just beat in the air aimlessly and hope something will happen. No, he's focused. In Hebrews 12 verse 11, it says, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. A while ago at home, I've got children, and I believe, to because I love them, I need to discipline them. And there's rules in our house, and the way I see discipline is, as a father, I make some certain rules. You're not allowed to spit someone in the face. You can't bite. You don't steal. There's certain things that there's not grace for, okay? There's no grace. Okay, so the one of my boys, he did one of those sins that, the way, as I said, the way I see it, they decide when they will be disciplined. Because when you know the rule, you have a choice to decide, will I break the rule or not? I can't punish them for a rule I haven't made. So if I drive 140 kilometers and there's the traffic officer and he stops me, and I said, well, I didn't know it, he won't believe me, because when you get a license, you need to, driver's license, you need to study the laws, and you need to read and understand what the markings on the side of the road mean. Okay? So your children need to know and understand what the rules of the house is. And my one boy, well, he did something that he really, really shouldn't have done. And I took him to his room, and he knew what was going to happen. And he said, please, Dad, no, I'll give you $100. Now, this scripture says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. You see, it doesn't just happen. Discipline takes a willful decision. There's a decision that all of us need to take, whether it's exercising, but I'm talking specifically in the context of discipleship, of growing and becoming like Christ and helping others to do so. Okay? So that was actually, you should have got two hidings, the one for the sin and the other one for manipulation, trying to bribe the father out of something. But we talked through that, and he knows and he understands. And I believe when we discipline with a heart full of love, that children's hearts will be turned to the parents' hearts. Hetty Brits, someone who's really a writer and someone passionate about raising children, I want to read a statement, and she said, the time for discipline is too short to ignore bad behavior. Okay? What's going to happen if you want to start to teach a child of 16 or 17 discipline? It's not going to work. It's going to be too late. The first 7 years, you lay that foundation. Afterwards, you need to shape the tree. But then here comes 18, 16, 17, 18, 20. It's too late, okay? Then we can pray, we can talk. But then to start to discipline then won't work. Now see, I will say the time is too short in life to look away when a disciple has got bad behavior. The reason is, if I take, Carol, may I use you as an example? If I know maybe my wife, if she goes and visit Carol, they're both hairdressers, they've got a lot in common, and me or my wife, and we see, well, there's something really troubling here in Carol's character. There's a type of a sin or a bad behavior. Then I can say, well, maybe I should just look the other way, as with a child that throws a tantrum in a shopping mall. A while ago, I flew to South Africa, and I saw probably the worst. This wasn't a video clip somewhere. It was real. It was a mom dragging a boy on both of his legs on the floor like this. And I thought, like, whoa, I would love to have coffee with you. Something is really, really wrong here. Okay, because that's not going to help you solve the problem. But back to Carol. If we turn a blind eye to bad behavior, sinful behavior, we're not actually helping Carol. We're not loving Carol. You agree with me? But if I go and say, Carol, can we go and have a coffee sometime? You know, the other day I was at your house and something happened. Can we talk about it? Because I'm concerned about you. This is really bothering to me. Then Carol can say, well, young man, I really don't have time for this. Please don't come again. And I'll have to go, I guess. Or she can say, well, please help me. Pray with me. How do we fix this? Okay, that's an attitude of the heart. You see, and when we talk about discipline, I believe all of us, so a lot of you had a smile or a laugh just now when I talked about my own son, because we have been disciplined when we were children, or we had to discipline children of our own. And it brings back a lot of memories, maybe bad, maybe good, I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, Scripture says it's going to produce a righteous fruit in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's important that we are sanctified in all three of those. That means the whole of us, body, soul, and spirit. People, I want to be real practical today, and I want to talk about, we say we want to be Christ-like. We talk about discipleship. But what do we do? Where does a lot of that start, and how does it manifest? Now, I quickly want to tell you a story. I'm reading a book of Garry Kasparov that I'm enjoying. He was for 20 years the world chess champion, and he's got quite a political career the last few years, and really for people's rights and freedom, etc. But he tells a story. And it's about a frog and a scorpion. And they are on one side of the river, and they need to cross the river. And the scorpion says to the frog, listen, I know you can help me. We need to get to the other side of the river. Will it be okay if you give me a lift on your back? And the frog looks at the scorpion and he says, well, you're a scorpion. I know what you guys do. You can sting me. And then we'll both drown. And the scorpion said, don't worry. Trust me here. We will cross together and it will be okay. Halfway through the river, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog immediately by the poison is paralyzed and it's starting to drown. And he says to the scorpion, hey, where's the logic in this? You said you won't sting me. And the scorpion said, sorry, this is who I am. It's part of my character. This is what I do. Okay? Scorpion sting. And then, obviously, it's just a short story. But he said, I can't help it. It's my character. Now, church, don't we do the same sometimes? Don't we sometimes say, oh, please excuse me for this, but it's part of who I am. My mother died when I was young. I had a tough childhood life. I'm under financial pressure. My wife is difficult. My husband is difficult. Maybe one of them are even absent. And we want to make excuses, and we want to say it's part of our character, okay? But I want to break it down a bit. I want to be practical, okay? Because we can't hide behind that thing and say, well, this is who I am. We can change. Okay? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we testify about our lives as Christians, there must be a part of the testimony that says, before I knew Christ, I was like this. And when I gave my life to the Lord and I was baptized and I became a new person, my life has changed. And I have new fruits. That's where we started. These new fruits in my life. Now let's talk about our thoughts. Let's talk about our thoughts. Our behavior only changes when our thoughts behind that changes. Do you hear me? I think I've got it. JP, I think I've got it there. It's going to be in English. I've got the Afrikaans one. See, maybe I think I've got it up there. Our behavior only changes really when our thoughts behind that changes. Okay. So here's the scenario. I'm not going to look there. I'll rather talk and you can follow. Let's say I want to drive to Windhoek. And in my thought, I think, okay, I know the speed limit is 120 kilometers per hour. But if I drive 140 and no one catches me, there's no police officers, speed officers or anyone, and no one catches me, then I'm fine, you know, no one catches me. And, you know, I know these days you get this thing that you can put in your car that makes a sound and it screams when there's a speed trap. I want to see who's smiling. And maybe you've got one at home. I'm not sure if it's that legal, but that's a story for another day. But you see, then your thoughts still says, listen, I'm going to drive and I'm going to break the rules. And hopefully I will not be caught. But the moment I get to a place, or you get the fine, and that maybe help you a little bit. And you say, I know it's a long road, it's 380 kilometers, but I'm going to stay within the law. I'm going to drive 120, and I'm going to be safe. I'm just using it as an example. Okay? Then your thoughts are changing, and here you have to think this morning, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, okay? That we are transformed. I'm talking about discipline this morning. Okay? And I'm talking about becoming like Christ. Time with God in our quiet time, pray, worship, reading scripture, fellowship, small group. Those things are the oxygen we as Christians live off. Those are the things that transforms us on the inside, that our thoughts and then our actions will change. Now, this is many times we think, but how does discipleship work? How do we become more Christ-like? The Holy Spirit plays a huge role. Scripture says the Holy Spirit helps us a lot. He does a work. God does a work in our hearts. But people, there's a big part that we play as well. There's a part we have to, who must take up the cross and follow Jesus? We take up that cross. Who decides to take up the cross? We take up that. We make a decision to take up that cross. Okay? So, if there's sin in your life, yes, there's sin in all of us, all our lives. Okay? But that's going to start with the thought that God needs to change, that behavior can change. Do you agree, young people? Amen? Okay. Let's talk about decisions. We all made a lot of decisions this morning. And I love the way God gives us minds and bodies and how everything works. And I know just so little about it, but I can just see how amazing God designed us. Okay, some of us probably took more decisions than others, or it took longer to make decisions to dress this morning. Maybe you thought, this shoes or that shoes. Will it be cold? Will it be warm? Will it be like this? Okay. Who takes a lot of time to make those decisions? Some of us take a long time and you think this shirt or this pants and all of that. But people on a daily basis, we all need to make a lot of decisions. Now I'm translating freely here from my notes. All behavior are preceded by a decision. Do you agree? All behavior are preceded by a decision. Alle gedrag voor deur 'n besluit vooraf gegaan. Okay? That means when you act, there was a decision behind that. Now, this is where it gets tricky sometimes. because you need to govern that decision that your behavior will be good. JP, show us that picture. And I'll be honest there. Let's have a look. Who of those three people made a bad decision? Who? We put up our hands, yes? Manfred, yes? Timon, okay, well, okay. Are you sure? Thank you, that lady too, okay. That makes it two out of three people. I think all three of them made bad decisions. If they were Christians, and I'm very honest, this might be uncomfortable because we're not maybe supposed to even show that in church, but it's real life, people. It's not about male and female and people this morning, okay? The lady on the left, the way she dressed, and I'm not pointing fingers in that sense, but the way she looks back. Okay, oh yeah, I'm pointing my finger not at you, I'm just pointing my finger, okay? The way she looks back, my conclusion is she wanted that guy to look at her maybe. Her reasons, I'm not sure, okay? He definitely shouldn't, I'm not sure if he's trying to get away from the water or if he's really staring. Let's say he's really staring. But church, he had a decision. She on the left had the decision to cover her body, the way she dressed, okay? That man sitting there, there was a decision. There was a thought where he could say, I'm going to look my, let's say it's his wife. I'm going to look my wife in the eyes. I'm going to have discipline. Paul says, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, okay? There's a moment where he can discipline his body, where you can see something and you can look away. And it's not just about flesh. There's a lot of things in life where we can say, I'm going to look away from this. That lady who throws the guy or her husband with water, you can say, yeah, but he deserves it. But she could take the steak knife and hit him on the hand and on his pulse and he could die. Then she's a killer. That's called a sinner as well. She also made a decision. So in a Christian context, hopefully all three of them wouldn't have done what they did. But do you hear my point? There was decisions. Take the picture of YJP. The whole church is distracted. I can see everyone is now, I'm going to pray for clear thoughts here. But you know what? That's real life. It's everyday life where we need to say, I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to drive too fast. That is how we should live. I'm going to protect my eyes. In the third year Bible school, we talk about it in discipleship. There's a lot about discipline. And I said, Paul wrote to us as well, and he said, you should discipline your body. You should keep it under control. And how do you do that? It's going to start with your thoughts. Okay. So if the fruit, we started with these good fruits and bad fruits, it comes from your heart. Okay. So when you are born again, God does a huge restoration work, and the old man dies. That's why we can testify. But now there's a progressive place. And if we draw a graph with time and growth, and we say to ourselves, I'm a new person now. If you want to grow, if you progressively want to grow, you can't just sit back and say, God, you're going to do a big work in my life and I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to end there as well. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of decision making. And it's going to take a lot of discipline to dress differently, to look differently, and maybe not to throw water. Okay? But just think in your own circumstances. I just visually wanted to show you something that in the blink of an eye, we all need to make decisions. And then if our hearts are full of Christ, the decision and the action that comes from that will be Christ-like. But if our heart is full of jealousy or lust or something like that, it will be different. Are you with me? Okay. So when we teach our children, now the way why I say that, I remember in 2009, Pastor Rolf Thielen and his wife Sonia, they were the first people where I went and I attended a parenting talk. And I remember one thing so clearly. Rolf said, parenting principles are sometimes very useful to use on adults. Think about it. Sometimes some adults need to go back to parenting principles okay, to teach them a bit about discipline and behavior and the consequences of our decisions. Okay? If we teach our children and we look away, if we teach them that bad behavior is paying off, tantrum in the shop, okay, I'll give you the chocolate. Tantrum at house, just please excuse me, I'll just pat my little boy. Whatever the case, if the children learn that, or adults learn that, even in marriage, what do? We believe it's acceptable, and we our hearts doesn't get circumcised, and we keep on doing that thing, even when we are adults sometimes. Not just a physical tantrum on the floor, like a two-year-old, but we do it as adults. Okay, and we should, as I said, the example I used with Carol, we can't just look away when we say we disciple, we're busy discipling each other here, and say, ach, don't worry, I'm a scorpion, I sting. No, we need to walk to each other, in love, of course, and there where there's a relationship, and say, friend, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your behavior. Let's think about your decision-making here, or the fruits in your heart. Let's talk about attitude. Obedience, it's important for obedience to have a good attitude. Okay? When you have a good attitude, obedience will be easier. Because if there's rebellion, or if you've got a bad attitude, it's a giveaway or a light that will say there's rebellion in your heart. If you're Carol, I'm going to use you today. Thank you so much. If Carol says to me, well, you know what? I was so lucky. I drove 160 kilometers per hour to Windhoek. No one caught me. I'm so blessed. I guess God loves me a lot. No, there's rebellion in your heart, Carol. No, we all know, Carol. I never drove with you, but I'm sure you won't do that. There's rebellion. I can't say you're lucky that is favor. There's rebellion, okay? There's something in your heart that is not pure. There's something that needs to change, okay? When we talk about character is so much more than just a nice personality. Annelore, can you once again come and stand here? Church, you won't believe what I'm going to tell you right now. 2.5 weeks ago, I saw Annelore in town punching someone with her fist. What do you love? You don't believe me? Why not, Manfred? She's too small. No. I've seen small ladies give big punches. I had a small sister, though. Okay? Manfred, why won't you believe that she punched someone in town? She's got discipline and a correct heart, but it will be completely out of character. It's not about age. It's not about being female or small. Okay, she could have a 9mm gun, Manfred, and kill that person. We love you, okay? You can sit down. How do we know that? You all know, those of you who answered are the people who know Annelore. And Annelore will really act out of character if she punched someone with the fist in town, except if it were really, really self-defense, okay? But you hear something there about character, something important about our character. And that's why when I prayed even this morning about when we look at the character of Christ, that moment when Jesus was sweating blood and he was so scared for what was ahead, his character was shaped, his character was formed. He had quiet time. He isolated himself. Okay, he had the Holy Spirit. He was Christ, of course. But his character was strong enough to endure what had to happen. Okay? I'm going to read in Afrikaans and I'm going to try my best to translate. Our thoughts, ons denke, besluite, gesindhede en gedrag, the things I spoke about right now, vorm mettertyd voorspelbare patrone, en dit is ons karakter. That means our thoughts, our decisions, our attitudes, and our behavior. With time, it forms a predictable pattern, and that is our character. That is why most of you will say, I'll bet you $1,000 Hannelore didn't punch someone. Because we know her character. And her character is formed by her thoughts, her decisions, her attitude, and her behavior. Think about the scorpion thing. Sorry, frog, I stung you because I'm a scorpion. That's what scorpions do. Now, that's not what Christians do. We don't go and we say, hey, sorry, I'm male, so I punch people. I'm like this, and now I stare at other people, or I throw water, or I dress like this or like that. There's a place where we can go back to that decision, and we say, there's an opportunity. Sometimes our options isn't that much, but we can always take a decision. Okay, we even live in a free country, democratic society, where we are not under a lot of pressure. We are very privileged. If you've got $20 in your hand, you can either buy a milk, liter of milk, or a bread. You can't buy both. You need to make a decision, but you've got two options. And church, this is how we live on a daily basis. Marriage, at work, quiet time, small group, church, the way we speak, the way we think. You're going to go and need to go back this week and think or read or research even more about your thoughts, your decisions, your attitude, and your behavior. Because that is what people is going to say about you. That's bad fruit or it's a good fruit. And Scripture says it comes from your heart. It's going to grow from your heart. Dit vir die hart van vol is gaan die mond van oorloop. Those things that's in your heart, people will know that. I'll be very honest. I was in a boys' school. I was in a race after a university with men, and I lived until I got married in a house with guys. I can say I know men in that sense. And if there's one thing you will not hear me laugh about, it's about sexually perverse jokes. I heard too much of that. It's part of something I can tell you. And it's just because it doesn't go anymore with one spirit. What happened? A change pattern, a thought pattern, a decision. Something had to change that I don't want those things anymore. In fact, when people make a joke like that, I will give you the poker face. I don't want to hear it. It's not something part of my character anymore. It's a challenge, and it needs a lot of discipline for our characters to be shaped. There's a place of temperament where we can say we've got certain qualities that we are born with. Natural leaders, introvert, extrovert, those type of things. Okay? But none of us are born with a Christ-like character. We need to work on that. Working on that is going to take a lot of discipline. Jou karakter is die produk van alles wat voorspelbaar jy is. That means your character is a product of everything that we can forecast. It's not the right word, but forecast you will do. Hannelore will not punch someone with the fist. Okay, I on purpose took two people and said, who of these two you think will punch someone? And maybe someone did punch someone, and then I'm in real trouble because someone is going to be exposed. But you hear what I'm saying. In that same way, I can call names and I'll say, that person, he will not steal money. I know that. I know his character. It's not like, I hope he didn't do it. I know he will not. It's his character. Because of his thoughts, his actions, everything we know that is part of that person. Okay? So, yes. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. This thing sits in my spirit now for 3 weeks. And I want to read it again. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now I'm sitting, God, why this thing? What are you teaching us here? Okay, I'm talking about discipleship. I'm talking about becoming Christ-like. I'm trying to break it down practically for us on a day-to-day basis, how our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and our attitudes are going to influence the fruit we bear. And where you are plugged in terms of being with God in quiet time, discipline, worship, prayer, those things, it's going to have effect on all of those.
So I went to my exegetical commentary and I read this thing and I studied, had a look at the Greek. And there it actually says you can translate it a little bit differently as well. And it will say, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. When we go to war with someone, you want to go to war with someone who's got solid character, okay? Not someone who's flimsy. When we're in a spiritual context, a walk of life, those people will, with tested character, we value that because they make good leaders. We know how they will react. And church, it will take us, it takes a lot of discipline to grow and to have that tested character. Because the challenges of life and this chain that Paul talks here of, it will only work, it's logical, but it will only work if we act correctly on the suffering and the challenges that we face. Because he says here, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, and then he starts with the chain. But if we face it correctly, incorrectly, say you face a challenge and now you start to smoke and drink, abuse alcohol or drugs or substance, that's the wrong way to handle pressure. The right way is go to God, go to Scripture, go to your small group and say, please people, pray with me, talk with me, help me here, hold me accountable. And it starts to produce character, tested character. And tested character is going to produce hope because there's something strong. There's something to build on. Okay? So, I'm going to end off this morning with Galatians 5, a very well-known part about the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 to verse 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now that is something where we can measure ourselves. Do I have those qualities as part of my character? Is those things that I'm known for, that I do have self-control, that I do have love, that I do have faithfulness and goodness and gentleness? Because that, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, that is the fruit that we will bear. And where we started, where do you see the Christian? Not here sitting in church. You're going to see someone somewhere in Namibia or Swakopmund having that fruit of love and peace and joy and self-control. And then in verse 24 it says, because that sounds very idealistic and something to look forward to and to that you want in your life. There it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. People, if you want that first part in your life, we're going to have to crucify the flesh with it, the passions and desires. Because if you live from a place of a born-again Christian, okay, there's a part in Scripture that talks about what is not the fruit of the Spirit. You can go and read it at home. But when we want those fruits, something in our thoughts, something in our hearts, our decision-making, our behavior, all of those things I just quickly reflected on or shared a little bit on, okay? Those things must be in line with Scripture. It must be in line with Christ. And the word and prayer and everything that church stands for, I believe, that's going to be the oxygen. The oxygen you breathe in, that's going to give us the fruit of those, okay? But we're going to have to take up we have to crucify the flesh and these passions and desires. The temptations that I just showed you, that's going to happen to us every day. When you get born again and saved and you grow as a Christian, I promise you, tests like that will not become less. It will be there always. It will always be there. None of us that's, how old are you young people, but it's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, none of us will say life is easy. Not one person I believe here or on the face of this planet can say that life is a walk in the park. Our tests and our trials, our battles, our families, our hearts, our health, whatever it might be, God will allow an opportunity for us to suffer, an opportunity to turn to Him. Because this logical chain will work if you don't turn to drugs and alcohol and smoking and whatever, but if you turn to Christ and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I'm really afraid. But please give me the strength. I know your grace is enough. Small group, church, or leader, please pray with me. Please help me. Okay? And Scripture says that's going to produce tested character. Something that we all want. Okay? So guys, I want you really in this next week, go and evaluate yourself against the fruits of the Spirit. And then there where you are not happy, or maybe this might be a challenging, there's counseling at church available. Husbands and wives, maybe you can do it in pairs and ask each other where the fruits of the Spirit is absent in our lives. And I don't know, maybe that might be a good exercise. And then afterwards, we can see you as a couple if there's a lot of violence maybe or or something like that. And then go back to the things in your heart, your behavior, action, those things I talked about. And I believe that when we stand before God one day, because this is not a motivational speech to try and make you a better person. No. We're going to stand before God one day, and He's going to judge us. But you shouldn't grow in fear of judgment, okay? We grow out of relationship with Christ. We grow from that place where when you have your quiet time and you stand up there after, let's say, being reading the word and meditating and praying for half an hour, and you walk out there and something happens, then you say, I'm gonna react in the godly manner. I'm going to make a decision because my thoughts are redeemed, and I'm going to react in a godly manner. I'm not going to throw a scene. There's not going to be a tantrum. You hear my heart this morning, okay? How much do you really want to change? I can't change you. I can't sow fear and try and make you afraid and then you will change. We change because Christ is in our lives, okay? That's where everything happens. That's the transformation that happened. So this is, for me personally, something I'm working on, and sometimes things happen in my life and I have to go and sit still and think like, sure, why did I behave like this right now? This was really wrong. It was really bad. Why is there anger in my life? Why is there A or B or C or what or something? And we kind of have to do that self-evaluation. In our small groups, we can talk to each other. And as I said, don't just walk away from bad behavior or sinful behavior in a friend's life. Look, go to that person and say, brother, sister, can we talk about this? I'm really concerned about you. Because those things sometimes help and show us that someone actually cares, and that someone actually, can I pray with you? How can I help you? Okay, so I'm not going to repeat myself again. I love to do that, but I'm not going to do it this morning. So I'll pray this morning. If there's something that cuts your heart this morning, if there's something in terms of your thoughts or behavior that's really an issue, I'd love to pray with you. If you maybe are here this morning and you haven't started your walk with Christ, that place where you say, Lord Jesus, I've tried and I've heard this testimony so much where people said, I gave up trying to change myself in my own strength. I came to the end of myself. And then I said, Lord Jesus, yes, it can work like that, but it doesn't have to work like that. Okay. There's always, every day, every moment, there's a place where there's a decision where we can make and say, Lord, I'm going to give over. I'm going to die to myself. John 3 verse 3. I'm going to become a new person. So maybe if I'm talking with your heart this morning, I would love to pray with you afterwards. Or if there's something else that triggered something in your heart, I would love to pray with you. But go back home during the next week. This is where the sermon starts. This is where your part starts. Paul says, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, that I will not be disqualified. And I believe that's a high bar. That's something we can all say, Lord, we need our help here. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you say in your word that from, yes, Lord God, that tested character is something that will be produced in our lives, Lord God. Something that the suffering, and Paul says that he rejoices in suffering, knowing that it will produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character, tested character, it produces hope, Lord God. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that, yes, Lord, that every person here, that we will take that step forward in faith and say, Lord, I want to allow you into my heart. There where my thoughts, there where my passions and desire happen, all of those, Lord, that your light will shine there, that you will redeem my thoughts and my heart. Lord, there's behind all our behavior, there's a decision that we can make, Lord. And Father God, we need to be regularly in your presence, that there will be good fruits in our lives, that when we are faced with tough decisions, Lord God, yes, Lord God, that we will be able to withstand those storms, Lord. And Father, you gave us a spiritual family, a place where we can ask advice, Lord God, where we can go for counsel, or where we can say to someone, show me practically how you overcome this. Lord, you know us all. You know the hair on our heads. You know the fear in our hearts. Father, and I want to pray this morning for legs that are tired, Lord. I want to pray for shoulders that feel they can't carry the burden anymore. I want to pray for every person here that sits with a poker face, Lord God, but there's turmoil in our inside, Lord. Father, I want to pray that we will become transparent before you, firstly. And secondly, Lord God, that we can talk to each other, that we can pray with each other. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies of prayer. Father, that we can pray and say, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, change our hearts. Lord, that we can look at the character of Christ, how he behaved throughout Scripture, and that we can say, Lord, it's my heart's the desire to look like Christ, Lord, that I can have that character. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.